Again, thank you so much for taking time out of your afternoon. We know most likely at this time you'd probably be at the food court filling your belly or beginning that Sunday power nap. So hopefully the refreshments was a good bribe to kind of keep you here. But really, we do really appreciate that you are here and wanting to see what is it that we're trying to do here at Cornerstone. Carly and myself, we've been, you know, working and planning on this pretty much since, you know, I came on board, which was October. And we both had an opportunity to go to a youth and family conference. And in that conference, they talked about this model, this family ministry model, and how important, and some of the churches that already been doing it for the past 6 years, and they've been kind of sharing, hey, this has been our experience. Here's what you want to avoid. Here's been some of the fruit that we've been seeing moving to this model. And so although we won't be able to kind of go into details about the entire history of what teen ministries were back in the first century versus now, we hope that what we're presenting is a continuation of what Cornerstone has probably already begun, which is the investment in the youth ministry. And so I'm gonna start off and share a few things, and we're gonna go through part of the presentation. Then I'm gonna pass the baton to Carly, and she's gonna go ahead and speak on some things. And in the end, we're gonna have some time for Q&A. So for those of you who have questions or something that you heard you want us to kind of clarify, we'll be more than happy to do so. Our goal is to keep you here for about 3 hours or so. So, you know, but seriously, our goal is to try to be out of here within at least 20 to 25 minutes of the presentation and leave some time for Q&A. It is recorded, so we'll be able to, the church will have access to it once we're done. All right, so we will begin. Now, again, I told you my eyes aren't as good. Next slide. It always happens. Next slide, please. Yeah, there you go. That's okay. Enjoy your refreshments. How's the refreshments, by the way? Is it good? There we go. So I want to begin with this quote. Until the gospel drives even our church scheduling priorities, families will continue to default to the values of the culture around them, and parents will remain too busy to engage in intentional discipleship with their children. We found this quote to be very powerful and unfortunately very true. Our society has, in on purpose or just because, have created this scenario in our family life where we are extremely busy. Some of our jobs are taking us not only out of the state, but across the world. We have active kids in sports and other academic activities, and it's just a lot going on. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, you know, in itself, but the reality is when we become so busy, it becomes very difficult to do the very thing that Deuteronomy 6 called us to do, which is to be invested into our kids and making sure the next generation has what we have, which is to know who God is. And so that's kind of the premise of where this is going. We're not gonna be talking about, okay, how great our teen ministry is, which it is. We're not gonna talk about how great our middle school and Kids Rock and Kids Creation Station, how all these different programs are great and we have great people working in it, but that's not what this is about. This is about how can Cornerstone invest in the future. And that's what we're trying to frame everything around. And that's where we're going to be going. Next slide. In Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand and in your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates." Again, this is the calling that God has given us from the very beginning, that the families have to be the primary influencers of this next generation. Again, we have some great people in this church, and we have some great volunteers serving in these ministries, but the primary responsibility is on the families. And so with where we're trying to go is we're trying to help equip our families to fight against what society says that we're too busy to invest. We're going to try to create ways that everybody in here has a role to play. You may not be a small group leader. You may not be a ministry leader, but you are a youth leader in a sense, because you are going to be a part of what we're trying to do. And so this is the basis of where God has called us to, and this is where we want to go as Cornerstone to help our next generation be invested with God. All right, it's working. All right. So this mission. The Cornerstone Family Ministry serves families with children from nursery through high school. We call it family ministry because rather than merely focusing on ministering to children or students, we believe the most effective approach is to partner with parents to build faith in the next generation. That's a really great mission, I think. But guess what? It was already on the website. This is Cornerstone's mission. And so for me and Carly, when we came in, our mindset wasn't to eradicate and throw out the old. It's already in the DNA. This is something that you've already begun. We have already have children being in, you know, our upperclassmen and middle schoolers serving within the church in some kind of capacity. And that's great. And so that's where we're trying to continue and further and even try to grow that mindset amongst all of us, is that this is the mission that we want to partner with families. There was a time where youth group and other ministries was a silo, and it operated as such, and parents were not really involved in it. Parents were able to bring their kids to something and then leave. And it was up to the teen leaders, and it was up to the small group leaders and those who are serving in that ministry to basically take care of everything. And then parents would just get a phone call if somebody had a situation. And so that's not something that's sustainable. That's not investing in the future. And so this mission right here, partnering with parents, is something that we want to encourage that kind of activity. We want to encourage parents to be involved. We don't want to stiff arm you from not being involved in what we're trying to do and keeping it a silo. Because as we continue down this on the slides, you're going to see that when we create these silos, when we create ministries that evolve on themselves, they're no longer connected to the church. They become their own entity. And so we have to figure out a way where we can have a great youth ministry, but it's not a silo. It's something that everybody else is involved in, whether you're a parent, whether you are single, whether you're an empty nester, that you all have a stake in helping our kids evolve and grow in their relationship with God. So here are some challenges. Here are some real stats I'm going to show you guys about some of the challenges that we face, not only just in Cornerstone, but many churches throughout the world. This is a stat that came from a book that I was reading, and it talked about just influence and the different levels of influence from parents all the way down to your kids' friends, all right? So with the influence, you have on males, moms have 81% influence, and on females, or I guess their daughters, they have 74%. Fathers will have 61% on their sons and 50% on the male on their daughters. The ministers will have 57% on males and 44% on females. And then the youth group will have 30%. And then their friends or peers will have 22 to 29%. So what's really clear is that the parents will have the most influence on the child. It doesn't matter how successful a youth group is. It's only gonna hit about 30%. It doesn't matter how much resources we throw at it. It doesn't matter if we grow our church three times as big and our budget grows up three times as much. In the end, the families, moms and dads, will have the most influence on these kids. On average, a child spends a little over 3 hours a week at church and over 115 hours elsewhere, mostly at home. Again, it doesn't matter how great our youth group is. It doesn't matter how much resources we put in there. They're only around us in maybe 3 hours in a week. Now, you take away that 3 hours, and you have school, you have extracurricular activities, you have vacations, you have all these other things that's competing with your kids. And so we stress the importance of why we need to partner with you guys, that we cannot do it on ourselves. I think I'm pretty funny. I think I can connect with some kids. I've seen Carly work with your teens. It's a great thing to watch, but it's only about 3 hours a week, and that's it. And so after that, it kind of just fades. According to a research by the Fuller Youth Institute, 40 to 50% of kids who are part of a youth group in high school fail to stick with their faith in college. Now, when I saw that, it really set me back, because I thought about my experience. You know, I was a Christian in high school. You know, I became a disciple when I was 16. And so when I graduated high school, I remained faithful, thank God. But I realized that that was a time where my entire ministry were all baptized teens. And that's not where our churches are today. I mean, we only have about four or five of our kids, or excuse me, we have seven? We have seven of our kids who are baptized. And so this number is real. Like, once they leave the high school, what else is gonna keep them in with the body? What other experiences are they gonna hold on to? Because all these great events that we have will fade away after graduation. And so this is where the partnering with families and partnering again with the rest of the body is gonna come into play. Because not every kid is gonna decide Jesus is Lord in high school. That's just the reality, they just won't. So do we just give up and we just say, well, I guess that was our best shot? We can't think that. It can't be just it has to happen when they're in their teen years. And so this is why we're stressing this importance of trying to partner with you and having a group effort in investing in these teens. So what is our response? We see these challenges, we see the stats, we see the numbers, we know we lead busy lives. So how are we going to respond? Here's our goal. It is our desire that by the time a student leaves the teen ministry, he or she will have a godly foundation. That's nursery to Kids Rock. They'll have great friendships, sixth to seventh graders, and in growing faith in God, 8 through 12. As a student continues to grow in each of these areas, our goal is to spur them on towards greater faith and conviction, bearing fruit that will last throughout their lifetime. We hope to create an environment where students deepen their relationship with God, with each other, and the rest of the church body. Again, that church body part is you. It's not me and Carly. It's not Kathy Jack. It's not all these great volunteers that we have here. It's the rest of us being involved. And what that involvement is going to look like, we're gonna kind of share about it a little later. But we just want to stress the point over and over that we do not plan to do this by ourselves, that we will need your help. We will need your investment as much as we're invested. So we have a generic ecosystem, right? In some churches, it looks different, but this is basically how our ecosystem is here in Cornerstone. So we have our nursery and creation station. And then ultimately, they move on to Kids Rock. And then from Kids Rock, they move on to the middle school ministry. And then from middle school, they come into the high school ministry. And then they either graduate, they graduate high school, and they either go into the campus ministries or our Yo Pros, or they, you know, or they end up, you know, continuing on after college. And then they either get married or they stay single. It doesn't matter, right? And then it kind of, you know, circles that back and forth. And so this is the ecosystem that we have. And so the whole point of this slide is to show you how there's not one ministry more important than the other. Every ministry that we have is just as important. If we have a weak Kids Rock ministry, that feeds into the middle school ministry. If we have a weak high school ministry, that's gonna feed into the campuses or Yo Pro. So every ministry is vital. There is not, we need to put all our resources in the teams. So it has to be great. And then we forget about the other ministries. This is a visual to show us how it is important for all of us to be invested, regardless of the stage, that if we have kids or don't have kids, that we have to be invested. Because this is the future of our church. We might have some anomalies, but this is the generic cycle of our system. And so it's gonna be important that we have to stay invested in what we're doing. So for, just to kind of go into more details, so from birth to fifth, you know, that's really the time where we put an emphasis on family. Kids are learning, you know, the importance of, obviously, learn about God, obviously, but they learn about family. And the first impressions, the first influences are gonna be the parents. And so this is a stage that we really wanna help our church to really get focused on helping these kids from birth to fifth. From sixth and seventh grade, friends become very important to kids. Now again, you know, my son will tell you, you know, he loves his friends, right? But when you go into middle school, this is the stage where they're trying to find their identity. And they're looking at different kids and they're trying to find a group. They're trying to fit in some way because they don't want to be alone. No kid liked to be alone, especially in middle school. If you remember middle school for you, for me, it was one of the hardest stages of life. Like, once I got to high school, I was comfortable with who I am and I was okay. But middle school was that stage where friendships were important. And I want to stress this. Not just peer friendships, but adult friendships as well. Some of our kids, and it's blown me away how our kids do not shy away from adults when they're at their events. Like, I haven't seen a kid say, why is my dad here? Why is my mom here? Oh, I don't want to go since my parents are going to be there. So the culture is already in place that these kids feel comfortable with the adults being around them in their space, in their environment. So that should be an encouragement to you to know that, hey, the door is open for these adult relationships as well, not just peer-to-peer. In the eighth grade, this is kind of where they want to start deepening their faith, right? They've heard all the different, you know, Bible stories, the Jonah, the Moses, they've heard all these stories, but this is the kind of stage where teens, middle schools are starting to deepen their desire to know who God is. You know, and this is where we want to start maybe having more times with them as a family, and then even as in small groups when they break up into our classes. We kind of want to kind of talk more about deeper questions about, or try to answer some of the deeper questions that they may have, because the curiosity will grow at this stage. And then 9th through 12, fruit and future, lordship and transitioning into campus or Yoko. Again, if we're vested from the beginning to the end, the fruit will come. It's not a situation where we have to beat down kids' doors and say, study the Bible, study the Bible, study the Bible. It's gonna come organically. And if it doesn't happen in this stage, it doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean the work is done. It just means we have more to do, more relationships to build. And that's why it's gonna be so important that teens have adult relationships, because once they leave the teen ministry, they're gonna feel like, well, where do I fit in? What's keeping me connected here? It's gonna be the relationship I have with the adults, the spiritual, mature people. Because some of my peers at 16 weren't really that spiritual. They weren't really thinking about God as much, other than those that were baptized. And so those peer relationships those relationships beyond their age group, that next tier, and even beyond, will be critical in helping the youth find their relationship with God. So in 1 Corinthians 15, 33, it says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. But likewise can be said, the opposite of this is true also. Good company promotes good character." And this is, again, where you think about how important the influence of this body is to our kids. When we do events moving forward, we don't want to create events just for teens or just for middle schoolers. Now, they're going to have some time. We're going to have a good time or whatever. But we really want to start making all of our events family friendly, meaning that there are no drop-offs. There are no, okay, I'll see you in about 2 hours. Now, the occasional parent might need to take a little date night. I get it. It's all good. But we don't want that. We don't want to create events where parents don't feel like they can stay. We want parents to stay. Why? One, because it creates more opportunities for different adults to interact with the youth. Two, it creates opportunity for you to continue to talk and have dialogue instead of becoming in silos. Last night, the middle schoolers had an event with the Gwinnett Middle School kids at the skate-along. And dads, and I see also a lot of dads there, and dads were just sitting down talking with each other. I mean, those are the kind of situations that may not happen during the week, but here's an opportunity because it wasn't just a middle school event. It was family friendly, so families were able to stay and connect and make new connections. And so that's where this family-based ministry is gonna try to fit in, is that we're gonna try to, in our classroom environments and in events that we plan, we wanna make it as welcoming for parents as possible so that you can be a part of this and not feel like you're being isolated. And so I'm gonna go ahead and pass it on to Carly, and she's gonna share some more thoughts on our family-based ministry.
Hey everyone. I'm gonna move this down just a little bit. Okay, so just continuing on in this theme, our 8th through 12th graders are our fruit and future. And so I know we went over the statistic already that says that 40 to 50% of kids who are part of a youth group fail to stick with their faith in college. And like Kinson, this statistic kind of blew my mind, because me and my peers in my teen ministry in high school are still faithful, even though I know many as well who aren't. So we wanted to make this stage of their life more about encouraging, supporting, and supplementing parents as they mature the faith of their child. So we don't want to take on that role of like, hey, give us your child and we'll make them faithful. We just want to help in whatever capacity that we can. And so part of this is ensuring that each student has godly adults pouring into their life. And I know that it can be kind of hard to make this happen, and teens can be awkward when they're talking to adults sometimes. But I think what they really, really love is making sure that people just want to know them. Everyone here can probably say that we just want to be known by other people. We want people to know us, and we want to know people. And it's true of teenagers as well, is that really what they want is just somebody to be interested in who they are and interested in what they're doing and how their tests went or how their soccer games went, things like that. And it's not difficult as adults in the church to walk up to a teenager and be like, hey, how was your week? Tell me about the test. How'd they go? Things like that. I mean, those are just ways to really simply support our teens and middle schoolers as they continue to grow. And a lot in this stage, especially starting in eighth grade, is when they're really starting to question who God is, and is he really good? Or they ask a lot of difficult questions in this stage. And so having to prepare and having multiple perspectives kind of feed into your children to really give them some answers when they're searching for them. So that is what we wanted to talk about with them. So.
Okay, so what we have here, this is like a little chart talking about a circle of influence. And again, the whole idea of this is to really kind of show how important these relationships are, right? So we have, Bobby, right? We're going to call him Bobby. And obviously he's going to have mom and dad in his life for the most part. Most of us, it's mom and dad is going to be the main, drivers in their kids' lives. But along with that, you know, he's gonna have his friends, right? So he has Nick and Peter. These are his peers. These are the relationships that, you know, are his closest friends. Now, as every parent knows, you're always watching out, who is my kid's friends with, right? You're always paying, there's always that one friend that you're like, I don't know about this one. You know, I'm already competing with Xbox, PlayStation, I'm already competing with your school, I'm already competing with all your activities, and then I have now this friend that you are seeming to be in love with, and not necessarily in you know, boy or girl, but just, you know, you're making this person a influencer in your life. As a parent, you gotta be watchful of that, you know? And so I would say that for me and my child, I wanna make sure that the people that are influencing them the most are the ones that I'm trying to influence as well. So if my goal is to try to teach my kids who God is, then I want those kids who are also in that same realm. Now, does it mean that it will never have, only friends they're gonna have as Christians? No, we already know that, right? But if I have relationships in this church and I see that my son is taking liking to another kid in this church, then I wanna try to foster that relationship. Because just because, and this is just the reality, we know every house is different. We all come to church, but every house is different. And so some relationships may not be beneficial for your kid. It may not be. It doesn't mean that the parents aren't teaching their kids about God, or it means that they're so unspiritual. It's just that you just don't feel like this kid at this stage of his life has, you know, is on the same route that I'm trying to teach my kids. And so these are things that as parents you have to be engaged. It's not enough to just let your kids be friends with anybody. You gotta be engaged in who they are. Invite families over, get to know them. Whether they're in this church or not in this church, get to know who is influencing your kids. And so with those two friends, you also have James and John. These are the adults. These are the adults that are in your kid's life, other than you. You know, it'd be great to see, you know, Tim take Joshua and hang out with him, and Josh builds a relationship with Tim. Because I know Tim. Tim is a spiritual man. I see how he raises family. I would love him to have influence on my kid. So these are the things that we're trying to foster here with this family-based ministry. That it's just not what's happening in the classrooms. It's what's happening in your homes. It's what's happening when we're at events. It's what's happening organically throughout the week. That you're thinking how you can have different adults influence your kids other than your youth leaders. Turn it over to Carl.
Okay, so for those of you who might be sitting here being like, what am I doing here? I don't have kids in teen ministry. Well, let me tell you. So families, go back to this slide. There are three components of family ministry, and I'm going to take you through them. So the first one is family. And I have never used this before. So like today, we are hoping to have monthly workshops where we really just want to equip you guys as parents for different subjects. So some that we have coming in the future are a subject on mental health, and how to talk to your kids about mental health or suicide or things that are really important and really prevalent right now. And part of it is maybe your kid doesn't struggle with that, but they know kids who do, and how to have your kids talk to other kids who struggle with this. And we're gonna have one on social media where it's gonna be, we really wanna like bring it to you guys, because it's important as parents to know how to have these conversations with your kids with today's culture and all the things that keep coming up right now. So we'll work on communication, engagement, friendship development, growing faith, all of these things. And then like Hinson touched on earlier, just having family-friendly events so that you guys can engage with other parents as well. And then we are having a parent action committee, a PAC. And so what this is that we're gonna have probably about three parent couples that are really gonna be, the sole purpose of their purpose in PAC is to kind of minister to the parents of teenagers, just in kids, just through Kids Rock to teenage years. And not be like, hey, how's your like we wouldn't meet and say, like, hey, here are all the kids that need this, this, and this. That's not their job. Their job is to be like, I know that this parent is having a hard time learning how to communicate with their daughter about this specific subject. Do you think that you could help? Or being like, this family isn't as engaged, and I don't know why. Do you think you could reach out to these parents? That really is the sole purpose of the PAC. And then the second component is going to be ministry. So this is where all the people who don't have parents, children, you guys are parents. what we really need right now are small group leaders, both for the middle school ministry and the teen ministry. So in June, we're having our RISE ceremony. We're having it earlier this year than usual. And we have 11 eighth graders who are coming up into the teens. We need help. Everyone in this church, everyone sitting here right now, is more than capable of being a small group leader. All you have to do is ask what entails being a small group leader. So we'll have a separate conversation about that later, but you can come up to Kinson and I and just ask what it means to be a small group leader, how you can be helpful in this way. It's just having you guys as influences into the children's ministries and what it means to just give to them in that environment, and that you get to develop really cool friendships with these kids. And so we do have a lot of middle schoolers and teens, and not enough small group leaders at the moment. So please, if you're interested, let us know. The Youth Action Committee, the YAC, this is what we started with. Some of the teens is that just ways to get them more involved in planning events and planning the calendar and just feeling like they have some stock in their teen ministry. So each semester we have three different teens who are going to help plan events. And so we have some in the works right now, but right now it's Ethan, Lauren, and Lexi, and we're really excited because they're just doing some great things, just trying to get some involvement in the teens, try to get other teens to come and help as much as they can. And then, as you guys know, in January we started doing middle school midweeks just as ways to have the middle schoolers meet more, because they really weren't meeting enough to develop the friendships that they needed to at that stage in their life. And then the third component is church. Okay, so our long-term goal is to have a mentorship program where each teen and middle schooler can have their own mentor. So it's a one-to-one ratio with every adult in the church can have one teen or middle schooler to mentor, and one will so it's not like two adults have one teen or however that ratio could go. So I know math. So you think it'd be simple. So so that's our long-term goal. Right now we're just trying to get small group leaders as the church grows, as we grow, both in faith and prayerfully in size. We would just have more opportunities for a mentorship program to begin. We also have service projects. So part of the YAC is that the Youth Action Committee is going to be, each semester they're planning one service project, and it's really gonna be like what they feel really passionately about. As a church, we already know how great we are at doing service projects. And I think it's important to instill that into these children from a young age, which we've done a great job of doing so far. But I think it's cool that they get this opportunity to choose what they want to, who they want to serve, what population of people they want to serve, and how they're going to do it. And it really comes from them and not from us. And then participating in church activities such as worship, ushering, children's ministry. We already know that our teens are really, like, they're already really great at this. They serve in the band and as singers. They serve in children's ministry, and they love it. And really what it is it's, like, giving the keys of the church building, so to speak, to these teens. It just makes them have, like, stock in this church where they want to be here. They like being here. They like to serve the church. And they want to come back, and they want to bring people into this as well. And I think that's important that for the church to make that an environment where these kids can just really thrive in. So that is what I got. So how are we going to do this? Back to Kinson.
So, she's so funny. Actually, the how part is very interesting, because as you know, me and Carly think this is a great idea. The execution will always look different. And like I said, I've been a part of the Gwinnett Church, and they've been doing the family ministry model for about 2 years. So the way it's implemented looks different in every church for multiple reasons, whether it's resources, size, what stage we want to start in. I mean, all of that, it all depends. So actually right now, it's still in the works, meaning it's not a final project. It's not set in stone what we're presenting today. So there's room for adjustments. So that's how we're going to do it right now. I'm going to change that. Okay, so earlier Carly mentioned the workshops. Now, our initial idea was, okay, we're going to do it every month. And that's just, zeal and excitement. But we realized, it may not be as excellent if we try to cram something every month. So we're probably going to do something like once a quarter at first and just kind of get some momentum and get some more buy-in. And then as it grows and as we feel like we're getting good traction, then we can adjust it and say, okay, maybe we can move it, maybe once every other month or so. But again, these workshops are going to be designed to equip families. That's the whole purpose of it. And it's going to be interactive. It won't be just the parents are sitting here and then the teens and middle schoolers won't be there. We want them to be a part of this too, because there's going to be times where we break up as families and start talking about the very thing that Carly or myself or whoever is going to be doing, facilitating these meetings. Which, by the way, again, this is part of the family-based model, that it won't be me and Carly facilitating all of these meetings. It will be you guys. It will be those who maybe they're empty nesters and they got some things they could share to help the rest of us. It may be a paid professional, who focuses on in these fields. So it's going to be a variety of people, but all in all, it's going to be a partnership. It's not going to be a top-down, this is what I think we all need to be doing. It's going to be, well, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what's going on at Cornerstone. So let's try to address these issues here. So we will have, like I said, we talked about the different topics that we're going to be talking about. And also, there'll be training for small group leaders as well. That's one of the things that we wanted to try to implement, is people that volunteer, especially in the middle school and high school. We didn't want to just have you guys sign up and don't know what you're signing up for, or how is it going to work, or what is it that we need to do, or what can we improve on. So we're going to be having trainings for small group leaders as well, so you could be equipped in having conversations and being able to be engaged with with our teens, both in the classroom and outside of the classroom. And so finally, this is a book that I recommend. Carly and I, when we went to the conference in October, this was a book that was recommended for all families who are working in this family-based ministry model, Owning Faith. And it's really about having families see the necessity of the investment in their kids and the different obstacles that we face, and also provide some tools in trying to help your kids own their own faith. Because we have our faith and we want to impress it on them, but they got to have their own faith as well, because that's what's going to sustain them well beyond the years outside of our homes. And so this is a great book. We've already started reading it. I've already read it already. Some of our small group leaders already have it. So we're trying to really, we want all you guys to know where all this stuff is coming from. So this is a great read. We encourage every parent, every empty nester, everyone here to read this book, because it really kind of gives the background and just kind of gives the tools necessary to get started on this. All right, and so we're at the end of our presentation. Again, what Carly and I have presented today is something we really believe in. We both came from ministries where when we were converted, this wasn't the basis. It was really about individual team and what those leaders are going to be doing with those teams. But as you know, in youth ministry, leaders come and go. They change out all the time. And so what happens is, if a teen is so connected to me and I'm no longer here, then what happens? But if he's connected to me, and that's great, but he also has Tim, he also has Matt, he also has Heather, he also have all these other people in his life, well, I'll just step aside and someone fills in the gap. And so that's the whole premise of the family-based ministry, is that it's a family investment. And when I say family, not necessarily your house family, but the body family, the extended family. So at this time, We are done with our presentation, and we will open the floor for Q&As. Yes, sir. Great question. He's asked, how do we see the Orange curriculum fitting into our plan? We sat down with Kathy Jack back in, I think, November, as well as Jen, and we talked about the Orange curriculum. This is the first time I personally have seen it, and I'm going to just be honest with you. I've all the ministries I've led, I've never had a curriculum. I've always done lessons in themes, like month to month. But when I got a chance to sit down and looked at it, and we had a rep from Orange sit down with us and go over it, I loved it so much. I was like, Carly, we got to get this for the teens. So we actually took that. We actually purchased a curriculum for the teens as well. Now, let me say this. It doesn't matter what the curriculum is. It's about how you present it. So it's not that, okay, here's what Orange says, and this is what I'm going to do. It's, well, let me look at it and see how is it applicable to our group. Because there's some things in there that it may fit and some may not. Or we need to add some stuff to it. And that's okay. That's not a problem at all. But in the end, like I said, you asked as far as the Orange curriculum, the teens do have an Orange curriculum now, and we have been using it from time to time. Because some things we find in there that it fits what we're doing. And sometimes it don't, and that's okay too. Any other questions? Yes. Okay. Now, are you talking about families within the church or outside the church? Okay, so basically the question, from my understanding, you're asking if you have, your child has friends who doesn't come to Cornerstone, they don't attend Cornerstone, and you've made attempts to reach out to the family, and they don't want, or they just kind of give you the stiff arm and not wanting to build. I mean, honestly, there's really no cookie cutter answer. I mean, for me, I would try to know the people who are in my kid's life. So for example, if Kayla tells me, hey, I want to have a sleepover with a friend, you know, from school. The first question is, okay, well, do we know these people? Does Shayla knows that person? Well, no. Okay, well, here's what we need to do, right? We get that parent's phone number. We talk to them. We if we can have some kind of coffee or whatever, we get to know them. And sometimes we just got to say no. I mean, we're the parents. Like, sometimes we just got to say no. So that's some of the things that we have done. Again, that's the great point about being in a group like this. It doesn't all have to come from here. It could also come from there as well, as far as what works for you and your child. Anybody else got a question? Okay, so the question was, with the Orange curriculum, it allows stuff to be sent home for parents so they can be in sync with what was taught in the class. I could tell you, yes, Jen has shown me how to do that, and I am a work in progress. So yes, I like that component of it, and I would like to send that out as we use it. Like for today, we're doing last words, which is basically reflecting on Jesus last week for the next 5 weeks. And so the component has questions and little devotions that you can send home with your parent to email to the parents so that you can have dialogue with them. So yes, we will be doing that. I need to repent and make sure I get on it, because Jen already showed me how to do it, so there's no excuses. So anybody else? Yes, sir. Go for it. Anybody else? Any questions or comments? All right. Carly says nope. So that'll be it. Well, again, parents, everyone else, thank you so much for your time. Are there any more? Yes, there's a few more brownies and stuff over there. Take as you go. But thank you so much. And, you know, I'll hang out a few more minutes if anybody has questions. I'm sure Carly's available as well. Small group leaders, if you're interested. It is not as bad or heavy as you think. We can talk to you about that as well. Thank you.